RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant, from HVO biofuel compatible condensing boilers to heat pumps and underfloor heating. Trust Grant to heat your home. Visit grant.ie.
Very cold this afternoon, with spells of sunshine and scattered showers mainly in the north, west and Midlands. Some showers too along eastern coasts, falling as hail and sleet, with highest temperatures of 2 to 6 degrees in light variable breezes. And that's all from the newsroom for the moment. Back now to Ray.
Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Friday. How are you on the 1st of December 2023? What a lovely man. That was a lovely chat. Joe Duffy and Paul Simon. They had him on for an hour and a quarter. He's been part of my life forever, probably yours as well. When we were in first or second class, we learned El Condor Pasa. You know that one? I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yes, I would. Yeah. And then 1986, Graceland by Paul Simon. What a brilliant album. Lady Blacksmith Mambasa and, You Can Call Me Al, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, all those ones. And then about 17 years ago, he had an album with a song which he wrote for his daughter called Daughter. Jenny and I just had Kate at the time, and that was a song that resonated with me and what was happening in my life at the time. Lovely chat and a thoughtful thinking man. So I really enjoyed that. And him remembering Shane McGowan. And yesterday we did that and we played out Shane McGowan doing a duet with my mother. His people insisted that it happened. My mother was a bit reluctant, but it went ahead in the end. And we played out a minute and so of Fairy Tale New York, Shane McGowan, Mary Darcy, Nee Bonner. And I mentioned that there was an accompanying guitarist called Kieran Wynne, who's from Kildare. Well, Kieran got onto us overnight. He said, listen to your show yesterday. Brought back so many wonderful memories of that morning in your mother's kitchen with your family and Shane McGowan. A truly unique experience, one which I will never forget and will hold deeply in my heart forever. A remarkable song from a truly remarkable songwriter and human being, says Kieran. I'm glad that it meant as much to you as it meant to us. Loads of people have been getting on to me and talking about it, and just one of those very special things. Now, today being the 1st of December, they're back. The elves are back in town. Yes, they are. Yes, you know, and they're very important because they're up there on the shelf, elf on the shelf, and they're keeping an eye on all the boys and girls for Santa to make sure that they make it onto the nice list as opposed to the naughty list. So, you know, you better not pout, you better not cry. You know the lyrics of the song. But they're back, and I'm just wondering, what are your elves like? We've two at home. And yes, they arrived, they arrived last night, and they do know Santa, because we know they know Santa, because we all know Buddy the Elf. And he knew Santa, didn't he, Buddy? Yeah.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. It's great to have them back. It's great to have the elves back. They can be a little bit bold, yeah, a little bit naughty, the elves can be, and they can be a bit messy. And I'm just wondering what they got up to last night in your house, or maybe last year, what the elves on the shelves got up to when they weren't just looking from their shelf position. Maybe they were tangling with loo paper. Maybe they were messing with the cereals in the press. Or worse still, maybe they were doing stuff in the loo... maybe not. They'd never do something like that. Anyway, elf stories, if you have any, this Friday afternoon. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Thank you. Yeah. And it's been the 1st of December. It's the meteorological beginning of winter. Oh no, this old chestnut, this old debate. When does spring start? When does winter start? When does summer finish? Bloody, bloody, blah. Well, I heard the lady on the weather forecast on Morning Ireland on Tuesday morning saying that we were heading towards cold weather and that this Friday, that being today, was the beginning of the meteorological winter. Some people are not happy. One of them is Michael Fortune. Yes, folklore expert who we have on regularly on the show. And he's letting everybody know. Yesterday I had the radio on and I heard someone announce that the 1st of December was the start of winter. I'll be honest, I let a few curses out of me. Don't go messing with the seasons in Ireland, please, says Michael Fortune. The 1st of November is the start of winter in my book. And that is why we have Christmas a midwinter festival, i.e. in the middle of winter. That is why our ancestors moved big stones around in alignment to the rising and setting across northwestern Europe thousands of years ago on the winter solstice. The 1st of November, Samhain, marks the start of winter, and 6 months earlier, 1st of May, Bealtaine, marks the start of summer. It's getting very exercised about this. These calendar dates made sense for our ancestors and they made sense for us. That is why we put up May bushes to welcome the summer and keep the bad luck away. That is why we have Frocken Sunday at the very end of July, where we mark the start of autumn and Lunasa. That is why we have April, borrowing cold days from March in old folklore. We have worked out these dates and they make sense to us. Anyone from the country will tell you that is why we have little sayings like a cock step in the evenings after the winter solstice and little Christmas has passed, or there's a grand stretch in the evenings. We need hope after Christmas, not another 2 more months of winter mode. And there. So that's Michael Fortune, very much in the winter starts on the 1st of November camp. But if you go to Glasnevin, yes, that very, it was a very posh looking building when it was built, the Meteorological Centre, the headquarters of Met Éireann, they are celebrating the start of winter today, if you celebrate the start of winter. And there may be snow. I love that one. No, it's too cold for snow. Won't snow. Too cold for snow. Too cold for snow. Temperatures are due to drop as low as -4 degrees tonight. So get the big duvet or the extra tog duvet down from the wardrobe. Widespread sharp frost and icy patches. Status yellow low temperature ice warning will kick in for the whole country from 5 o'clock this evening and will remain in place until midday on Sunday. Met Éireann has warned that the cold temperatures may lead to slippery conditions underfoot, hazardous travelling conditions and animal welfare issues. Temperatures are due to drop as low as -4 degrees tonight with widespread, I said that already. And there could be some ice and some wintry precipitation, which could be snow. The journal.ie are asking, do you want snow? Do you want it to snow? 49.4% say, yes, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And 46.8% say, don't let it snow, don't let it snow, don't let it snow. And 3.8% say, I don't know, I don't care. I was cycling home through UCD yesterday and it was like something out of a movie. I happened into the middle on my bike, into the middle of an outdoor rave. Yeah, it must have been the students' Christmas party. And there they were in their Christmas jumpers and their sequin skirts. And it was a dirty old night. It was cold and it was wet. And you know that sort of cold rain that's nearly hailstones. But they were having the time of their lives. And I was thinking, you're not dressed for the occasion. That's the way you think when you get older. You can't be going out in that. Will you put something, put a coat on there. Put a coat on. So there was jumpers and skirts and all that. There was one guy who had an hoodie. He had a Christmas hoodie. You know those things? They're sort of like a blanket with a hood on it and you can put your... He's a sensible guy. He's my type of guy. I hope they had a great night anyway. I'm going to play this and bring you right back. Ah, yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You might have heard rumblings that there's a new book, Dear Gay, and it's Letters to the Gay Byrne Show, a handwritten history of Ireland, compiled by Gay's daughter Susie. And Susie and Kathleen, Gay's wife, will be coming into us on Monday. So I'm reading the book in preparation. It's a wonderful book. It really is a wonderful book, and it covers everything that was covered on the Gay Byrne Show, Gay Byrne Hour, over the years. And anybody knows anything about the history of Ireland will know what big a part it played in change, social change in Ireland, and how people shared their lives with Gay on the radio. Sometimes it was frivolous things, sometimes it was serious things, but it was, everything was welcome. And he always listened and he always read out the letters brilliantly. So I just thought to get you ready for Monday that I'd read a couple of letters, just a couple of letters out from the book. So this is the type of thing you used to get, and this is topical and seasonal, so I'll read this. Dear Gay, I put in my Christmas cake in the oven yesterday at 1 o'clock and the electricity went off at 1:45. I rang a nearby cookery school and they said not to continue cooking because the fruit will sink to the bottom. But some neighbour said I could restir the cake and start again. Would anyone be able to tell me the best thing to do? See, and of course Gay would have solved that problem. And this one caught my attention as well. Dear Gay, we all love the programme. Keep up the good work. Can you help me, Gay? I'm desperate. This is not a joke. I always wear a certain bra, but Playtex took my size off the market. I've tried so many different types, but hopeless. I have a collection of them. Gay, I've written to Playtex in Scotland, but they send me a list of their garments. I've tried various shops in Tip, Clonmel, Limerick, Tuam and Dublin, but to no avail. Perhaps if you look for one on your show, some shop may have one in old stock. My size is 36D or 38D, Playtex, number 173. Thanks, Gay. Thanks for listening to my problem. I hope some of your listeners can help. And there's just two of the thousands of letters that were received by the Gay Byrne Show Hour over the years. And Susie meticulously went through the archives here in RTE and she selected letters that tell the story not just of the programme, but also of Ireland through those years, the 70s and 80s and into the 90s. And it's a mad statistic. Back in the late 80s, around 88, when the population of the country was about 3.5 million, 850,000 people were listening to the Gay Byrne Show. And I did the maths on that, looked at, you know, how many of those would have been adults. And one in three of the adult population in Ireland back in 1988 were tuning in to the Gay Byrne Show every morning, Monday to Friday. That's a remarkable statistic, a remarkable statistic. Now, Nathan Carter's coming in for a chat and a couple of tunes. Looking forward to that. And we have Stephen Mangan and his sister Anita. You'll know Stephen from his acting broadcasting work. And Anita is an illustrator and they've teamed up for their third book. Stephen writes, Anita illustrates. We'll be talking to them. The Great Reindeer Rescue is the name of it. And after 4 o'clock, we have the Ugly Sisters from Cinderella at the Gaiety. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Looking forward to that chat. Ray, for Shane's 60th birthday, you had him on your show on the telly. We did. I entered your competition that night and I won. My name was called out by Shane. He congratulated me and said, I can't see you, Cora, but you sound sexy. What a brilliant memory. He was a witty man. That's Cora in Ennis, County Clare. Yeah, and we had him live on that night. And that's something that I'll cherish. And Huey, my brother, was into traditional Irish music and he was the man who introduced me to the Pogues. And he had a collection, not a huge collection, but he had a collection of vinyl with traditional Irish music on it from back in the day. And I inherited that when Huey went to the States. And I brought one of those LPs into Shane that night and gave it to him as a present. And he really appreciated it. That was lovely yesterday with your mother, says Stephen. And there's one song I associate with you, your show and Christmas. Put a Little Love in Your Heart. Yes. Carl, you're right. We'll have to play that on Monday. It kickstarts Christmas for me. Thanks for reminding me, Carl. Nearly forgot. There's a load of snow on the Wicklow Mountains, says Simon. I was up there yesterday and we'll be back at the weekend walking in a winter wonderland. Blindingly beautiful, says Simon. And I'm called after St. Bridget and as far as I'm concerned, St. Bridget's Day is the first day of spring and the 1st of November is the first day of winter. There you go. You have a friend in Michael Fortune. You have a friend in Michael Fortune. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I think this is the song. This is the song of 2023 for me, and for all the wrong reasons, but it's beautiful. And now it's very, very sad. But here it is, Haunted. Good afternoon.
Do you remember that sunny day? Somewhere in London, in the middle of. Didn't have nothing to do that day. Didn't want to do nothing anyway.
You got a way of walking.
Haunted. The late Sinead O'Connor and the late Shane McGowan. And we were talking to BP Fallon yesterday, and he was remarking how beautiful that song is, and it is. And there's a lovely photograph taken by BP Fallon doing the rounds in the papers today from the Pink Pop Festival in 1988 of a lovely smiling Sinead O'Connor and a lovely smiling Shane McGowan. And it's just, it's a beautiful black and white photo. If you haven't seen it, get your hands on it. The other thing I watched this morning, which, because we were talking about it yesterday with John Sheehan, is the tribute to the Dubliners on the Late Late Show when Gay Byrne was sitting in the seat, and they did the Irish Rover. And that, it just it's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. Ronnie Drew, all suited and booted, and look, and hands in his pockets, and he's there, the elder statesman of Irish trad music, but he has his little, you know, the upstart beside him in Shane McGowan, and Shane's holding a drink in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And when Gay introduces them, it cuts to a wide shot of the assembled Dubliners, Pogues, Christy Moore's in the background with the bower on. And the first thing you see is Shane McGowan taking a drag out of a cigarette and blowing out a puff of smoke. And then they launch into the Irish Rover. And there's just something life-affirming about it. It's there up on rt.ie if you want to look back at it. Now, Claire says about Haunted, how could one song simultaneously be so incredibly sad and yet so beautiful? Well, there you go, circumstance, I suppose. They should re-release it this Christmas for anyone missing a loved one. Have such a lump in my throat, says Claire in Dublin. Well, it's there. That's the thing with music now, isn't it? It's there forever on Spotify. And Cora was mentioning that she was in the audience when we had Shane on the TV show for his 60th birthday. And we've got the sound recording of that somewhere here. There it is there. It's Cora Coughlin, is it? Is that the one? Yeah. Cora now. So she won a prize. And I asked Shane, would he say something to her? Anyway, this is self-explanatory. Have a listen from the TV show.
Say hello to Shane McGowan.
Hello, Shane. You're looking well.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks, Karen.
I'm really enjoying the show.
Oh. There you go. That's Cora Coughlin in Ennis and County Clare.
Oh, sure, you're looking well. I can't see you. You sound sexy.
I hope I've been a spell.
Behave yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. The late Shane McGowan. Now, 51551, rayatrt.ie. I better tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Ray Who Done Quiz. This week, we've a two-night stay for two people in the River Lee in County Cork, and they are launching their second curated literary weekend. So it's two-night stay, breakfast each morning and dinner on one of the evenings in the Grill Restaurant, the Grill Room Restaurant. And this time, New York Times best-selling author Caroline O'Donoghue is the second Cork native to partner with the hotel on their curated weekends in Cork. You can find out more at doylecollection.com/Cork. Her dreamy curated weekend leads guests on a literary exploration of the city with the fabulous River Lee as her base. And thanks so much to everybody in the River Lee and the Doyle Collection Hotels for helping us out this week. Here's your qualifying question on this Friday afternoon. Today, the 1st of December, we open the doors of which calendar? The Advent calendar or the Irish Farmer calendar? So today, on the 1st of December, we open the doors of which calendar? The Advent calendar or the Irish Farmer calendar? 0818 715 925. I'll give you that again. 0818 715 925. And good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, live in studio, Nathan Carter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
And he goes nowhere without his wingman, JP. How are you doing, JP?
I'm all right, Ray. How's
joined at the hip.
Yeah. I'm not allowed out on my own.
Yes.
Adult supervision. Yeah. Supervision needed at all
I don't think
times.
I've ever seen you without JP.
No. We don't share the same bed, though.
All right, fair enough. How long have you been? How long have you been?
Over 10 years.
All right, yeah. You know his every move.
I can anticipate at least.
Exactly, yes.
Good and bad.
Just give you a nod and you know where he's going. Yeah. Good to see you both.
Yes, happy Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas to you. 1st of December, you can say that. You have a new album out next week.
I do, the 8th of December. Brand new album out.
So, Music Man.
Yeah.
Right.
What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, you're a man and you play music.
Exactly.
That's basically it.
It took a long time to come up with that title.
Yeah. There are parallels, oddly, between yourself and Shane McGowan, aren't there? Because, you know, growing up in England, I suppose, surrounded
by Irish music.
Yes, yeah.
Playing trad.
Yeah.
His songwriting is far superior to mine.
No, but
we play music.
Yeah. And very fond of Ireland.
Absolutely, and the heritage. But my favourite ever Christmas song has always been Fairytale New York. And I did get to meet him a good few years back. We did a gig in Liverpool on the Pierhead called The Fesh, which Van Morrison was on, and Imelda, Shane, of course, and Finbar, and then myself and the band, and Sharon was on as well. Sharon.
What a lineup, we
got to meet Shane backstage, which was incredible, and he went on, and I think that was one of his very last performances, before he passed. So it was an absolute pleasure to meet him. And what a poet, what an unbelievable legacy he's left in music. And I'm guessing the fairy tale will be number one this Christmas. I really hope it is.
You know, the year is released. They were hoping there's a girl, a woman I know, Lise Hand. She's a journalist. She tells a great story about she was working with some paper at the time. I think she was touring with the Pogues just to do a colour piece.
Yep.
And they're in a hotel in Scotland after a gig or before a gig, waiting for the chart to be announced to see if they were going to be the Christmas number one. Because back then, that was a huge thing to be the Christmas number one. And they were all waiting around in the bar. And next thing it was announced, came out on BBC Radio 1, Pet Shop Boys number one.
They missed out.
Is it always on my mind, or it's the same one of those, whichever one?
So it's never got to number one.
I don't think it has. I don't think it has.
So
this would be the, because last Christmas never got to number one until recently. Wham.
Wham.
Yeah. So maybe that's it's going to happen this time around.
You never know.
1988, I think that was 1987 or 1988.
I wasn't born.
I just let that hang in the air there.
Don't want to make you feel old, right? But I wasn't here.
You weren't here. Right, okay. So we asked you, would you play a tribute to Shane McGowan? And you said yes.
I did.
And what did you decide to sing?
And I'm trying to still remember the lyrics, but we're going to have a go.
Right.
A bad version of one of Pogue's biggest ever songs, Dirty Old Town, which, funny enough, I nearly got punched in a pub one night because I told everybody that the song's about a place in Manchester called Salford, and they thought I was taking the proverbial, but I wasn't.
That's the truth.
A Mancunian thought I was being funny.
Yeah.
I really wasn't.
Because it was written by Hugh McCall.
Yeah.
Whose daughter was Kirsty McCall.
Yes. Yeah.
Who duetted on Fairytale New York.
With the Pogues.
Of course, a lot of people,
they all think it's about Dublin.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that's it exactly.
Yeah. That's what I was going to. Yeah, so, right, okay, all right.
We're going to have a go anyway. It was something like this. Old Town.
Good stuff.
There we go.
Your bar was in the news during the week.
My bar?
Yeah.
Well, I don't own the bar, but yeah.
You're
myself,
local.
Myself and John live in Enniskillen, and our local bar, Charlie's, has gone absolutely viral all over the place. CNN, all over Australia, all over the UK, and all over Ireland. They launched a video that they were just going to put up on TikTok. It was filmed in portrait on a phone. So obviously everybody looking at it they have to blare out the side, you know, because it was shot. And it's gone completely mad. But the whole feel of it is about loneliness and this old guy that's being ignored on the street, and he comes into Charlie's. He's welcomed by this couple sitting at the bar and they have a great night together. But the video, if anyone hasn't seen it, I know you've done a bit of a piece on it, didn't you, Joe?
Well, Joe did a full hour. He spoke to Una.
Yes.
Una is the
landlady from Charlie's.
Landlady, right. And I think he spoke to Martin as well, who's the star of it.
Yes.
Lovely
but
man.
But a really heartwarming, heartfelt little video that wasn't meant to really go viral, but it's absolutely, like, John Lewis was commenting underneath it, and, you know,
beautifully shot, because Una was on. She said it cost them
700 quid.
Euro or pounds to make. Yeah,
there's millions and millions of views on it so far, and it's only climbing. And I've just heard that ITV are going to be playing it as an actual ad next week.
Are they?
Yeah,
isn't that lovely?
Nuts.
Yeah. But the sentiment
is brilliant, though.
But, you know, we give out about social media and technology and all that sort of thing, but that's it at its best.
Totally.
Somebody can take a phone and get, you know, a lovely idea with a local,
yeah,
a bit of music, birdie, help the people, help the people, and then it's worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. 700 quid.
700 quid.
Nuts. Yes. The dog was the only actor, professional actor in the video.
Just for people who haven't seen it, Martin comes back into the pub after trying to say hello to people and visiting his wife's grave, I presume. And he's sitting there and on his own, and the dog comes up and he jumps up on the pew beside him, which yeah. is which is lovely. Now, the new album is Music Man. It's out next Friday, and you're in Mullingar Park Hotel tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yes. The home of Joe Dolan.
The home of Joe Dolan. Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. And Brezzy, and Niall Horan.
And Foster and Allen.
Oh, yeah, wow, yes. Look at that. Yeah. Per capita, more singers per capita than any place in Ireland, Mullingar. Yeah. And then Saturday week, it's Shearwater Hotel, Ballinasloe, Radisson Hotel, Sligo on the 27th of December.
After Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. West County Hotel, Ennis on 28th, and Royal Theatre, Castlebar on the 29th. We'll talk to you about Christmas when you, we'll be talking to you again before 4 o'clock. You're going to sing another song for us. But Denise has been on. I'll be listening here from Kent. Say hello to Nathan for me and tell him I'm looking forward to his new album and that I will see him next week. That's Denise.
Thank you, Denise.
And Niamh Una O'Leary. Congratulations to Nathan on his new album. Can't wait to see him in Wexford Opera House next Friday. That's Niamh and Kathleen Keogh from Wexford. There you go.
Happy Christmas.
So you're going to stay there. We have to go to a pre-record we did earlier in the week with Stephen and Anita Mangan, isn't it? Yes, yeah, Stephen and Anita Mangan. We spoke to them earlier in the week about their new book. And we will talk to them after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 ray at rte.ie. Our next guests are the brother and sister duo who are responsible for the best-selling children's books The Unlikely Rise of Harry Sponge and The Fart That Changed the World. It's actor and writer and TV presenter Stephen Mangan and illustrious illustrator, his sister Anita Mangan. And they're back to talk to us again on the show. Good afternoon, Stephen and Anita. Hello, 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 hello. The new book is The Great Reindeer Rescue and there is a fart in it.
there has to be. I mean, it's like Hitchcock appearing in his movies. I have to put one now in every book. It's my trademark. Did other people have classier trademarks, but what can you do? You get what, you work with what you're given.
Yeah. But it's known and scientifically proven that children enjoy farts. That's it. It's,
not just children, Ray. I mean, I find them hilarious.
The Great Reindeer Rescue is the new book, and it's brilliant. Congratulations to you both. So you're settling into this writing, Stephen.
I am. I love it. I mean, who'd have thought, firstly, that I'd end up working with my sister. If you told me that when I was 10, I would not have believed you, but it's a total joy. And I just love writing and sitting at a desk. You know, I mean, when you work in television or films, it can take months and years to achieve what you want to achieve. But in writing a book, you sit there and you create whole worlds and universes with a few taps on a keyboard. I absolutely love it. You know, and writing for children is a joy too, because I think, you know, the age I write for, 8 to 12, they're old enough to get some quite sophisticated ideas, but they're also young enough, they'll go with you anywhere, you know, and then you can take them into magic worlds and strange ideas and big characters and adventures, and they'll come with you. So I'm loving it.
Anita, can I ask you about your brother? Is he a man who's never grown up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. he is a big kid, but you know, he writes to make himself laugh and to make me laugh, and I draw to make him laugh. So, you know, the sillier the better, basically. Yeah. That's what we're both into.
Now there are two heroes of the piece, and I'm not giving away much here, but there's Dave, the new reindeer on Santa's team, and Holly, who he befriends by accident. Dave is this, he reminds me a bit of myself in that when he's nervous, he talks a lot.
He knows he's talking too much and he can't stop. Yeah, the reindeer, Blixen, has been retired because Blixen just getting on a bit and can't quite keep up with the pace. So Santa's hired a new reindeer for this Christmas, and that's Dave. And he's pulling the sleigh along with the rest of them, but yeah, it's I think like all of us do this on a first day of a new job or the first day of school. You get so much nervous tension and excitement. Will people like me? Will they steal my lunch money? Will everything go okay? And he just can't stop talking, but he sort of ruins Christmas by sending inadvertently sending all the reindeer to the four corners of the earth, and Santa disappears too. Yeah. So he teams up with this little girl called Holly, and they have to find all the other reindeer to try and save Christmas.
Now, importantly, he's just behind Rudolph, and Rudolph is, you know, he's cock of the hoop, he knows it. And there's that lovely passage of dialogue where Rudolph is introducing himself to new guy Dave. Will you read that for us?
I will, of course, yes. Rudolph at the front snorted and tossed his head again. He didn't like the conversation not being about him. "Yeah, I'm Rudolph," he said to Dave, even though Dave already knew that. "Santa tells me I'm the best reindeer he's ever had, and I believe him. I'm amazing. I'm fast. I'm strong. I've got a great sense of direction. I look wonderful. My hooves are the shiniest. My coat is the smoothest. I'm the most hydrated reindeer of all time, and even my farts smell like perfume. You're going to love working with me, Derek." "My name's Dave." "Sure. So watch and learn, Derek. Watch and learn." He's very main character energy, Rudolph. He really thinks he's the bee's knees. Yeah. As my wife would say, if he had two heads, he'd kiss himself to death.
Yeah. And if he was chocolate, he'd eat himself, isn't that?
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
That's Rudolph, yeah. There's a lovely illustration on page 100, Anita. Ooh. And it's Holly looking over this sea of presents. And I had a bit of a Where's Wally moment there, trying to find out various presents. Is there a Hurley stick there? Or is that my imagination?
Yes. Hurley. Well, yes. We're on the phone to Ireland, so yes, it's a hurling stick.
Is it
not
a
hockey
stick?
Yes.
It is, of course.
It definitely is.
It's there, front and centre. I'm looking at it there, and there's a cricket bat there, so I'm taking that as a hurley stick. Is that okay? That's fine. Great.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You must have had fun doing that. It's an amazing drawing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, it took a while, and you know, but I love getting into the detail like that with drawings. I just I get quite obsessed with it. But yeah. It's great fun. I listen to good music and then just get on with those presents.
That's where Santa stores his presents. So he has the sign up: "Strictly no admittance to anyone other than the Big Cheese, Santa Baby, Senor Claus, the Boss Man, Red Suit Guy, Saint Nick, Captain Red Pants." Yeah, that's great.
I wrote that bit. I snuck in a few
words.
Oh, did
you?
I went above and beyond my station. Stephen didn't notice.
Yeah.
So
There's great characters in it: Mr. and Mrs. Throat Badger, and the two twins, Dorothy and Griselda Dithers, Mrs.
Yes.
Dithers. And there's time travelling, and there's time freezing, and all sorts of things. And it's a great read. Stephen and Anita, every time something like this happens and there's a lovely celebration, you obviously miss your parents. And I know part of the reason that you do everything you do, Stephen, is because your mum died at a time in your life when you went, "Well, look, life is short. Let's do whatever I can."
Yeah, she died at 45, and I just left university. I'd had a law degree. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Well, I knew I wanted to be an actor, but I didn't think it was possible. Her mother had died at 47. So, you know, you look at the sort of way things have gone for the family: 47 for my grandmother, 45 for my mum, and you suddenly think, I might only have 20 years left here. You know, I need to do what I love rather than what I feel I ought to do. So I ditched the law, and it was the best decision I ever made. I went to drama school and became an actor, and now I'm a writer. So, yeah, you know, life is short, and you realise, hopefully before it's too late, that you've got to get on and live the life you want to live rather than the life maybe that you feel you ought to live.
And is it still the driving force for you?
It is. I mean, hopefully not in a morbid way,
no.
Or in a kind of but you know, I think it's good to be reminded every now and again that things don't last forever, and that you should look around occasionally and appreciate where you are and get on with it. Because I think I get a great set. I'm very busy. I do a lot of different things, but I get satisfaction from that. I like the fact that, you know, I get to the end of the year and it's that we're getting to that time of the year when you look back at what's gone on, and you know, that I put a lot of effort in and did as much as I could, because you know, there'll be a day when no one will want to give me an acting job, or no one will read my books.
I can't imagine that day coming any day soon. Anita, so you and Stephen are quite close. You've illustrated lots and lots of books on your own. What are your childhood memories like, yourself and himself?
of just being at home.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back in the day when we didn't have much to entertain us, we kind of came up with our own ideas, and we were very we loved doing a play or a dance routine, or fighting. But yeah, you know, happy, but you know, wrestling and laughing in equal measure. You know, fighting and playing in equal measure.
Yeah.
But very inventive. Yeah, because we were constantly bored, so we'd have to make up our own games. You know, there wasn't a phone or a tablet to just play on. So
Your parents are from Ireland.
Yes.
And did you get a sense, and this is a ridiculous question in a way, but did you get a sense that it was an Irish-tinged Christmas that you celebrated back in the day?
Well, we had Kimberley biscuits left out for Santa, didn't we?
Yeah, it's a silver mints as well.
Yes, there you go. Pure Irish, yeah.
And we'd have my mum's brothers and sisters and, you know, big family, you know, like a lot of Irish families. So, yeah, definitely.
Now, both of you have appeared on Celebrity Gogglebox together. And Anita, you've appeared on Celebrity Portrait Artist of the Year. You probably, yes. That's a bit of nepotism there, or sibling favouritism. So how was the Gogglebox experience?
Oh, so fun. I mean, you know, just laughing and shrieking. And
that does feel like we're 10 years old again, you know, back sitting on the sofa at home watching telly and chatting about it. I mean, it's an amazing show. When you describe it to anyone who doesn't know it, it's like they film people watching television, but it's something really amazing about it. And I don't know what it is.
When you're allowed to talk, when you know, I never talk when I'm watching TV normally.
Doesn't your husband allow it?
They're running commentary. But it is so fun, and they pick, you're there for 3 hours filming, but they pick, you know, the best 2 minutes of your time. So, it's great fun.
And it's okay for you, Anita, because you don't work in the, you know, the telly business. But for you, Stephen, would you have to be careful about what you say?
Yeah, I suppose if something comes on and there's a friend of mine in it, I'm probably not going to sit there and slag it off.
No, because
the thing is, you know yourself making any creative endeavour how hard it is, and sometimes things don't go well. So I think it's more about trying to comment in a funny way, and in a way, it says more about us. I mean, us, the two of us, shrieking at horror films. I mean, Anita screamed so loud I nearly hit the ceiling. That's what's fun, rather than sitting there and going, oh, they're not very good, or that's not a very good show. You're just trying to, you know, try and be as warm but funny at the same time. That's the gig, I think.
You've three boys, Jack, Frank and Harry. And Holly is the hero of the piece in the new book, The Great Reindeer Rescue. How do they feel about that?
Well, they've all had their own book, so they should be,
be grateful.
They should be grateful with what they've got. Holly is actually my sister-in-law, and Dave is my brother-in-law. So I'm widening the, and I've got 50 or 52 first cousins to get through. So there'll be plenty of books before I run out of names.
And a lot of them are still in Ireland, over in Belmullet and down in
they
Cork
are,
and in
Belmullet,
Dublin.
Yeah, that's Dublin, right. Yeah. We've got an Offaly and Trim and all over the place. You can't move 20 yards without bumping into a Mangan or a Dunnow over there.
And your Irish heritage and connections, are you constantly reminded, you know, when you're out at something, do people sidle up to you and go, ah, Stephen, I'm from Offaly there, I know your cousin, or do you get that anywhere?
I do, I get that, and also there are people who are second generation, so those people who were born and brought up in England like we were, but feel Irish, and that sort of thing of feeling like you come from two different places, you know, back there and then over in London. And so you get to talk to a lot of people who talk about the long journey back to, you know, the drive up to Liverpool, the 8-hour ferry to Dublin, and then the 6.5-hour drive to Mayo and things like that. Yeah.
I feel that the two of you have, you know, this slagging that we have. It's a sort of this affectionate slagging that the Irish have that the English sometimes don't get.
Yeah, completely. You know, that's the highest form of affection, is just take the mickey out of somebody.
Yeah, exactly,
That's how you show you love each other.
Oh, there you are, Darcy, you baldy fecker. That sort of thing,
And also, you know, taking people down, you know, no one likes anyone who gets too big for their boots.
Yes.
So my sisters are very handy if I ever display any.
Keep his feet well and truly on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe that's why the Rudolph character is so well written.
That sort of character I love. I did a show called Green Wing and I played a pompous, arrogant English bloke, and that just sort of thing makes me laugh. People who think they're the bee's knees and no one else thinks that.
How do you play those so well?
I don't know. There you go. That's what I get.
Yeah, there you go. You walked straight into that one. Well
right
done, Anita.
Into that one. Hook, line and sinker.
The Great Reindeer Rescue is in bookshops now. Stephen Mangan wrote it and his sister Anita illustrated it. And it's a great book, recommended from here. Thank you both, Stephen and Anita.
You.
Happy Christmas. Bye now.
And
bye.
To you.
And to you.
Right. Bye. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There you go. It was a theme today. Stephen Mangan and his sister talking about coming home to Ireland for their summer holidays. Shane McGowan, of course, that's a bit of his story. And Nathan Carter's a bit of your story as well.
Sure is.
Yeah. You're going to sing Dear Elizabeth for us. And you shot the video for it in Cong.
Yeah, it's the latest single. The story about this song is my nan's best friend is called Jackie McDonald, folk singer from the 60s. And she wrote this song 60 years ago, and it hadn't been recorded by anyone apart from she'd done a few versions of it herself. So she sent it to me, and I recorded it recently. And we, as you say, recorded a video down in Cong on a lovely boat, an old sailing boat from a friend of mine called Ed and Fanula. They own a lovely boat down there. So we had a great day out in Cong, right, sailing over to the Galway Bay, and sounds so romantic, doesn't
it? Yeah. That's a quiet man country, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. The Isle of Inish Free.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Right.
That's the song from that, isn't it?
So, Dear Elizabeth, what's the song from it?
The Isle of Inish Free is from, The Quiet Man. Yeah.
Dear Elizabeth, when you're ready, from his new album, Music Man, this is the current single, Nathan Carter. Take it away.
Cheers.
Dear Elizabeth, I hope this letter finds you just the same as it can.
There you go, Dear Elizabeth. And Jack. And that's the new single from Nathan Carter. Nathan, we didn't get a chance to talk about your Christmas plans.
I'm actually in Enniskillen for Christmas. My family are all coming over from Liverpool. We have Jake, Karen and Lenny the dog, famous Lenny. I'm going to buy the food, but I'll let my dad sort the rest of it because I don't want a fire in my house. So
you're not cooking, right? Fair enough. Well, happy Christmas, JP.
You too,
Nathan. Thank you very much.
Big hello to all the listeners.
Good luck
thank you
album,
so much.
Good luck at the tour as well. Anish Doshi now, and the Priest Skelton and Oaksula, Marion Ihulawan. We have two enthusiastic and slightly nervous quizzers standing by to play the Who Done It quiz. One of them will walk away with a prize. And it's a two-night stay for two people in the Doyle Collections Riverlea Hotel in Cork. They've just launched the second curated weekend. New York Times best-selling author Caroline O'Donoghue is the second Cork native to partner with the hotel. Her dreamy curated weekend leads guests on a literary exploration of the city with the fabulous Riverlea as their base. Breakfast both mornings, dinner on one evening in the grill room. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. And thanks so much to everybody there in Doyle Collection and the Riverlea Hotel. Conor Dineen, how are you?
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. You're from Skerries in North County Dublin.
That's right, Ray. Yeah, lovely Skerries.
Right. Did it get voted the best something somewhere recently?
Yeah, the Irish Times during the week, there was an article about it. But being modest, they didn't refer to it as Skerries. They referred to it as Uncoon.
Right, and is that the Irish word for Skerries?
I think that means a harbour. I'm not 100%, but right. Those in the know, you know.
Well, anybody I know who's ever been to Skerries or who lives there, they're always glowing in their commentary on it. So it's a lovely place out there by the sea, just the right size, close enough to Dublin.
Sweet spot.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Are you born and bred Skerries man?
Not at all, but I'm married to a born and bred Skerries woman, Christine, so she brought me in.
Right.
I'm from Limerick originally.
And what's the plan for the weekend?
My sister Orla is home from Australia, so meeting her and her son Lucas on Sunday, and they're staying overnight and giving a tour around Dublin, so looking forward to that.
There's a picture in one of the papers today of the lights in Merrion Square, which I don't know if that's a new thing, but they were launched yesterday, so that might be something you put in your itinerary
the
for the day.
Right.
There you go.
Any other ideas?
Well, we'll put it out to the listeners. So it's Sunday, is it, in Dublin, around Dublin?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think maybe Crump Park Sky Tour. We'll give that a go. And
Grafton Street is particularly nice with the lights, you know, and there's always a few good buskers there. The standard of busking on Grafton Street is second to none.
Absolutely, so and a cold, crisp day. Nowhere better.
And hot chocolate. Yep. Love, look, there you go. You've nearly it all planned.
Brilliant.
So, did Shane McGowan, the Pogues, did they play a part in your life at all?
Oh, God almighty, such a hero of a man. He was just, he was unbelievable. Mm. The measure of our dreams, you know. Absolute legend, you know.
That's the line that has impressed most people. The measure of my dreams. The measure of my dreams. Would you have a favourite song or?
I do quite like Broad Majestic Shannon. Thousands. That's just such a song.
Is that because you're from Limerick? Broad Majestic Shannon, or
I
think that's from the Midlands version.
A bit of that.
A bit of that.
It's from the Tipperary perspective, it's a big river, you know. Yes. So it's just classics. Was some man.
Colm actually shares your taste in music. Hello, Colm.
Hello, how are you doing, Ray?
Good. So you're a big fan of the Pogues, and the Broad Majestic Shannon is your favourite as well.
Absolutely, yeah, it's my favourite song, but I think my favourite lyric was probably from The Body of an American, the line, because he paints a picture with his words, you know. In the middle of The Body of an American, he says, you know, and as the sunset came to meet evening on the hill, I told you I'd always love you, I always did, I always will, which is beautiful, you know. That's a great track. I haven't heard that Body of an American being
played
much in the last couple of days.
Right, so. See, everyone has their favourites, and I suppose what happens when somebody dies, they go for the obvious ones, and then as you know, time goes on, people explore the back catalogue a bit more and discover more songs. You met Shane.
I met him on a few occasions, he was a massive part of my youth. Probably my favourite artist. I'm a big music fan, a lyric fan, so Shane's my big hero.
Where'd you meet him?
First time I met him was at backstage in the gig at Mill Street, I think it was 96.
Right.
And I actually kissed him and told him I loved him.
Right.
about 21, 22 years ago, I was with some friends. I was with a friend of mine, Eamon Heenan from Manchester, and he knew some of the lads. So after a midnight at the Olympia gig with the Popes, we all went into the Mercantile across the road, and we were sitting around the table, and Shane came in and ended up sitting beside me.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of girls there kept coming up and asking him to sing, and he wasn't bothered. He said, someone else sing. So I sang The Lakes of Pontchartrain.
Lovely.
And Shane sang along with me and applauded me. So that's a great fond memory I have.
What a lovely. So you sang with you. He did backing vocals. He accompanied you on The Lakes of Pontchartrain.
Yeah, he sang a few words along with me. Singing. Just in a pub, you know. Yeah, it was quiet enough, you know.
Great song too, The Lakes of Pontchartrain.
Beautiful song, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, but The Broad Majestic Shannon, I think, is one of his finest errors. I love a love song about a place, you know, like Andy Irvine's West Coast of Clare or whatever, you know.
Louise played that yesterday, and we'll play it out next week just to whet your appetite there.
The last time I saw you was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey and sunburn and tears in her cheeks. You sang me a song that was pure as the breeze on a road leading up Glenavie. I sat for a while at the crescent funnel where young lovers would meet when the flowers were in bloom. Heard the men coming from the fire at Chiron, their hearts in Tipperary, wherever they go. Take my hand and dry your tears.
There you go, The Broad Majestic Shannon, just a little bit of it. Okay, Connor versus Colm. Three questions each. You know the deal. I'll give you the category. Ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. And whoever gets most points is the winner. And it's the drawn points who go to a tie break. Okay. So, Connor, Colm, good luck to you both. Here we go. So, to you first, Connor. Music. We start with music. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, right.
Okay. For 2 points, who is this?
Go here.
Adele.
It is Adele, yes.
Didn't get the chance to feel.
2 points for you. Well done, Connor. Good start. Colm. Music for you too. Do you want a clue?
I'll have to say no then.
No. Right. For 2 points, who is this?
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do.
my heart is falling too.
Ed Sheeran.
It is Ed Sheeran.
With your body. And last night you were in my room. And now my bedsheets smell like you.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran and Shape of You, and two for you. Good start. So it's two all. Connor, back to you. Irish Voices is the next category. Irish Voices.
No clue, right?
No clue. Can you name this Irish person for 2 points?
In those early days, we only had two live microphones and we had three dummy microphones. So we used to choreograph dance routines to be able to swap the mics. So you do a turn and as you turn, you just hand the mic and you take the dummy mic.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'll say Jason Byrne. I don't know.
No. It's Ronan Keating. Ronan Keating. Okay. Talking about his days in Boyzone. Okay. Right. Colm, you're not out of a Jack Connor by a long shot. Colm, Irish Voices, what do you want to do with this one?
Well, I didn't know that one, so I think I'll take a clue.
Okay. Here's your clue. Maybe he doesn't like the start of the week. For 1 point, who is this?
And a band sort of works in a way... The drummer gives you the swing, the bass player gives you the groove, the rhythm player powers that, the filigree and the trimmings or the lead guitar, the piano.
I think I got it on the clue, Ray, yeah. Another hero of mine is Bob Geldof.
There you go, well done, yeah. And the clue, of course, referenced I Don't Like Mondays from 1979. So you're on three, Colm. Connor, you're on two. So
we'll
have to go clueless. It's cartoon characters. I don't know how you feel about that, Connor.
Sure, we'll give it a go.
Right. So 2 points. Good luck with this. Name this cartoon character.
Take all your bad feelings and push them down, all the way down, past your knees until you're almost walking on them. And then
that will be Marge Simpson.
It is Marge Simpson. Well done. You get 2 points, which makes it very interesting now. Because you're on four, Connor. Colm, you're on three. And you have options here. You can take a clue if you feel that cartoon characters isn't a strong suit for you. And if you get it right, we'll be in a tie-break situation. Or you can go for broke, go without a clue. If you get it right, you're today's winner. What do you want to do?
You know, we came with nothing. We
seven,
Connor. So sure, I'll go
for. Okay, right here. Drum roll. Good luck with this for 2 points and being today's winner. Who is this?
Yesterday, I went to the duck pond and I saw Mrs. Duck. Then I went to the supermarket with Mummy. We bought bread, carrots, and what's wrong?
Who's that?
I think that's Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig, you say? Correct answer, well done. 2 points brings you up to five.
Mom, Colm, well done.
Yeah, Connor, hard luck.
Thanks, Connor.
Connor, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. Enjoy the weekend with Orla and Lucas and Dublin City. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much.
See you, Connor.
Well done, Colm. Okay,
bye. Colm.
Yo.
You're off to Cork, which is nice. You're off to the River Lee. It's one of the Irish luxury hotel group, the Doyle Collection Hotels, and you can go to doylecollection.com/Cork to see what's in store for you. Enjoy it and have a good weekend.
I will.
Good talking to you. Indeed. Right, see you, Colm. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, it's all very exciting. Yes, it is. Oh! Tinsel at the ready, because we're about to deck the halls here on the show. That's right. It's one of our favourite shows of the year. And it's happening this day week. Dublin City Council and the Office of Public Works are putting on their Christmas market once again. And they've opened up the doors of the Bedford Hall for us. So on Friday the 8th, we're bringing back Christmas at the Castle. Really looking forward to it. There will be festive live music, wonderful guests, mulled wine, mince pies and a few surprises along the way, as always. We would like to invite you along. We're looking for an audience to come along and help us get in the Christmassy spirit on the day. So we'd need you to be available in Dublin from about 2 o'clock next Friday. If you'd like to be in with a chance of coming along and being in our audience, just head over to our website, rte.ie/Ray. You'll find a little form to fill in. Once we have your details, we'll be in touch sometime next week. rte.ie/Ray. Christmas at the Castle. Now, a little bit of this before we meet the two ugly sisters. And their version of Waxy Dargle. Waxy Dargle. Now, the Gaiety Panto is celebrating 150 years this year. It's Cinderella.
And it is everything you'd expect from a panto: music, dancing, comedy and calamity, with jokes only the grown-ups will get, and farts and smelly feet jokes for the entire audience to enjoy. It's still being pestered by... well, Cinderella is still being pestered by her two ugly sisters, Melody and Harmony. And I'm slightly nervous to say they both join me in studio this afternoon. Aisling Breen is Harmony and Lindsay Coop is Melody. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, thanks for having us.
Now, we were there the other night, Wednesday night, opening night, and ye two are brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank
you. You stole the show.
Oh, you did?
We'll take that.
I wanted it. At one stage, my wife turned to me and she says, I can't take my eyes off the ugly sisters. And poor Cinderella and Prince Charming and Buttons, they were all great as well.
But yeah. Of course, yeah. Yeah.
So is this a dream come true, Aisling?
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Ever since I heard it was going to be Cinderella, we've been kind of manifesting this since last year. We were in the show last year and... We even had a picture of Patsy and Eddie up on our dressing room door, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, Patsy and Eddie from Absolutely Fabulous. Oh, yes.
So that's kind of our, that's what people refer to when they take the two of us in our real life.
Are you friends for...
We're best friends,
Oh, because that's why. That makes complete sense now.
Yeah. We're very in sync in real life.
Yes.
Yeah. So we often like say the same things at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was rehearsed. That was rehearsed.
No. Well, we started in the Gaiety together as dancers.
Yeah.
So we met there, and this is most certainly one of the biggest dreams come true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you have to audition as a pair, or what way did it happen?
Well, we read a few scripts together so that they could see that the chemistry was there.
Where we're working together, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Luckily we have that chemistry already.
Yeah.
Which is great, a bonus.
Yeah, but would have been such a big role. They did have to make sure that we gelled on stage as well as we do off stage.
Yeah.
So we were lucky. So when we got the call, there were tears.
Yeah.
Major tears of joy.
Yeah. Of joy.
The standard for pantos has just gone up and up and up.
Oh, really has. Yeah.
It's a spectacle. Yeah.
It's just highly recommended from here. Very funny. Loads of great songs.
The music is brilliant. Yeah. We love.
So good.
That's one of the things that we look forward to hearing the most. Like, what's our number? What's our number? What's our number? And when we heard Lady Marmalade, like, we were floored. Yeah. We were floored.
Does somebody do Single Ladies as well? That's not your
one.
We come down to a little ditty of it, but no, Lady Marmalade, our own version of Lady Marmalade is what
alternate lyrics.
Yeah, I was listening to that, and I thought, are they really singing that?
Yes,
we love it.
That's definitely for the mammies and daddies.
Oh, 100%
for sure. Yeah.
And luckily, we weren't asked what are they singing about.
No, you have to come and see it.
You have to come and see it. Now it's harmless enough, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
So both of you have been in loads of different things over the years. Aisling, give us just a quick list of things you've been in.
I did Tinder, the musical comedy. Right. I did Menopause, the musical. I was the resident director on that. I was in Fair City many moons ago in a girl band called Supernova. Uh-huh. And lots of stuff at the Gaiety, of course. Yeah, lots of pantomimes. Yeah.
Like Aisling, I've done many shows. I've also been in the Eurovision for Ireland in 2005 with Don and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I'm recognising now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tune. Yeah, that was one of the best gigs I've ever done.
Where was that?
Kiev.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
That was brilliant. We were over there.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. It was just after the Orange Revolution, wasn't it? It was a mad time to be in Ukraine.
Yeah, well, it was fabulous over there. Yeah, we had a ball.
Yeah.
And then I did Daniel O'Donnell tour. I was his dance partner for his tour, which was brilliant as well. So, like, totally different to anything that I've ever done before. And then a lot of theatre. Played a lot in Cork Opera House as well, alongside Aisling.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Gaiety. The Gaiety kind of has our hearts, though.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's no ordinary panto.
No, definitely not.
Is the rivalry between the pantos, like, are we going to get flack now because they had the 2E on? Would there be protests outside?
I hope not.
I think there's plenty of room for all the different pantomimes.
Yeah.
I think everyone has their own thing going on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've a lot of friends in a lot of the shows.
Yeah.
We do. Majority of the time, I mean, our schedule is probably the most difficult one.
Tell us about the schedule.
Oh, it's like 98 shows, I think.
98?
Yeah, is it 98 this year?
98, I think. My, I'm tired even thinking about it.
Oh, like we're all in bits by the end of it. Yeah. In bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. like a running
It's because it's a
every
workout
day.
Every night.
Every day, yeah.
Well, it's twice two a shows day. A day. Yeah. So yeah. We look great though in January. Yeah, January. We have our summer bods in winter.
Do you take a holiday then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're yeah. going away somewhere nice.
Do you know
yeah.
Darren who directs it?
Yeah.
A few years ago, a long time ago, they used to do this thing. The opening night was for charity. And yes. whatever charity it was, I was attached to it at the time.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
part of the thing was, would you get your ambassador yeah. to come and be in the panto?
Oh, yeah.
So the
yeah.
first year I went along was brilliant. Darren wasn't that busy. He gave me lines. It was all really well choreographed. Brilliant.
Yeah. yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. Right. The kids were there. Second year, Darren was a little bit busier. You know, and it yeah, wasn't, yeah, yeah. you know, the way it happens.
Of course, yeah. yeah.
So I'm out there and next thing, I'm on my own.
I know.
On the stage. Oh, no. On my own. On the Gaiety stage.
I know.
In front of a full house.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
What did I do? What would you do?
Wing it. Go with it. Make it work. Yeah,
I did a cartwheel. That's,
oh yeah, it was the cartwheel.
Well, look, we have to say, Ray, we were there, and you didn't just do a cartwheel. There was definitely a few dance moves thrown in there as well. Sometimes,
I'm nearly sure you were a pirate, Ray.
You were a pirate.
Yes,
we know fully
myself
well.
Myself and Lindsay were dancers.
We remember it well. My poor daughter is still traumatized. Why did you do the cartwheel, Daddy? What?
We have to get you back. What do you
think? Oh yeah, no, well, I don't know.
We could get a third sister in, maybe.
Just the level. It's yeah. such a huge production. Yeah. Such a brilliant
really
production.
Is. Yeah. yeah, yeah. No, it really is.
Live orchestra.
Oh, yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. yeah. We're so lucky to have the live orchestra. And actually, one of our favourite days when we do go in is when they do a sits probe before we start all the main technical run. But hearing a live band,
there's just nothing like it.
And especially actually after COVID, when we heard them for the first time, like there was just energizing. Tears all around. Yes. It was the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Do you have a catchphrase, the two of you, or no?
Have a catchphrase.
Is there one? Come on. Is there no? Is there a come on?
No,
or,
no.
I'm just wondering.
Really.
No, I'm not saying you have to have one. I was just wondering, did you have one?
God,
no.
We're on the spot.
I'm
now.
Yeah. On stage or off?
So you've done a show already today.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And you're going back in now to
we're
do a second.
We're going to do another one.
We're going back in now. Yeah.
Yeah. Full house.
And we're doing a boxing match rehearsal before we go back.
Oh,
each other. Yeah.
That was a little bit off. I didn't have to say.
All right, Ray. Well, my glove broke.
Oh, that happened. That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're winging it.
But you made the best of it. It looks funny. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. We're going to make it work. It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be amazing.
Cinderella
later.
In the Gaiety, and they're doing the venue proud, celebrating 150 years of the Gaiety Panto. Lindsay Cope, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks
Ashley Green, thank you.
Us.
The Ugly Sisters. That's it from us. Mugs on Drive Time. We are back on Monday. Have a brilliant weekend. Good luck.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.